I feel God in here. Oh my God, I feel such an anointing. I don't know what's about to happen. I'm just going to preach and going to sit down somewhere. Luke 5, verse 1. Luke 5, verse 1. Luke 5, verse 1. Hallelujah. While you're getting Luke 5, just look at your neighbor and say, I'm next, baby. I'm next. I'm next. You better get this word. You better get, oh God, I feel an anointing already. Come on. Come on. Before I even read the scripture, look at three people around you. Matter of fact, make it four and say, I'm next. 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 I am next. Put a hashtag on it. Hashtag, baby, I'm next. God, I feel an anointing already. I feel an anointing already. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on. Luke 5. Now, I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. They got the King James Version up here, so if you want to follow, it's totally fine. Or no matter what Bible you have, we're all going to arrive in the same place. Luke 5 declares this. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him, speaking of Jesus, to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, launch out into the deep. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said, Master, we've toiled all night. We caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down my net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, this is where we want to go, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish, what they had taken. And so also James, John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. I want to preach to you this morning from the subject, when Jesus gets in my boat. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening. It makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder, separate soul from spirit, and be a discerner of the intentions of our heart. Father, speak such a word that shapes destinies and destroys the past mistakes in our lives. Speak such a word, God, that it's right now in the moment, that when it hits us, everything changes. Father, speak such a word that the very enemy of which we face can do nothing but watch us get blessed by this word. Father, speak such a word that it changes our very nature and causes us to be conformed to the image of your son Jesus, and transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive that word, and on our ears that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing this morning is that you have your way. Accomplish whatever you want to accomplish. We have no agenda but yours this morning. And we'll give you all praise, glory, and honor for the things you have done, for what you're doing right now, and for certainly what you are about to do. In Jesus' name, you agree, shout amen. Come on, look at three or four people before you sit down. Smile at them real bright. Show them your pearly whites. Come on. Everything God has blessed you with. You know you're going to see some gold teeth because it's Baltimore. Come on, come on, come on, and say, Jesus is about to get in my boat. Jesus is about to get in my boat. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to move kind of quickly here with this. I was talking to a couple of the brothers before I came out, and I said, man, I'm about to preach this message from Luke 5, and I don't know how many times in my limited experience of preaching the gospel that I've read this passage of scripture, preached it, and heard it preached. And it amazes me that how many times I could read a passage and God still show me something absolutely new in the text. I don't know how many times I've preached this, and I've always preached this from one dimension. I've only preached this from the standpoint of what happens after the fact that Jesus got in the boat. But I never realized that in the narrative that Jesus had an option as to whose boat he was going to get into. God, I can already understand and see, begin to understand that some of you are missing what I'm saying at this very moment. The text opens up by saying there was a crowd. Look at your neighbor and say, here's a test run, because we're going to do this all morning long. Come on here. Look at him and say, here's a test run. Come on here. God, there was a crowd. I can see that's what happens when you miss church. You don't even know how to do call and response. Come on here. Well, I'm going to do it again because you missed last Sunday. So you touch your neighbor is broken, and I got to fix you real quick. Go look at your neighbor and say, here's a test run. Then say this, there was a crowd. There was a crowd. The Bible says there was a crowd. That was a little weak, but I'm going to get there with you. There was a crowd that was pressing Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus looked at the crowd, and then he looked around at his options. And then the Bible says there was two boats. Everybody say two boats. Come on here. Two boats. There was not just one option, but there were two options. The Bible says there were two boats. And then when Jesus looked at them, he says, I'm going to make a choice as to which boat I get in. And the Bible says that he discovers the boat that he gets in is Simon's. Touch your neighbor and say, that was not a mistake. That was not a mistake. The Bible says that Simon wasn't even in his boat when Jesus got in it, which tells us that Jesus looked at the boats and they were absolutely empty, and he makes a decision, I'm getting in this one. That tells us that Jesus didn't even have, watch me now, the inclination to look at the boat and see a personality or a figure in the boat and choose somebody over their personality or their demeanor or their stature. That also tells us as an indication that Jesus had a plan as to whose boat he was going to get into before he ever picked the boat in the first place. In other words, Jesus came to this location because he knew at this appointed time that Simon was going to be there, and Simon did not know he had a reservation with God Almighty on that day that was about to change his life forever. Look at your neighbor and say, I missed last Sunday, but Pastor is about to give us double for our trouble. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you didn't know you had an appointment with destiny today, and that God is about to get all up in your stuff today. You had no idea that a long time ago God looked at his watch and said, on July 5th, 2015, I'm about to step into your reality and make your dream become a reality and your reality become a new normal. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, God is about to get all up in my stuff. I wish I had five people in this room right now that says, God, do whatever you want to do with my stuff. God, I feel an anointing in here already. I feel an anointing in here already. The Bible lets us know that Jesus didn't look at the boats and see anybody in them. Peter wasn't there. Simon wasn't there. His partners was not there. He had an option. I don't know how many times I've read this scripture, and you've read it too, and you probably never seen that Jesus had a choice as to who he was about to select. Touch your name and say, baby, I think pastor's on to something, because I'm next. God, Peter was just going about running his business. He was a professional fisherman by trade. He was going along doing very well on his own. As a matter of fact, I feel like preaching to somebody. He really didn't need the Lord to step into his boat. He had a very influential business, and he was very affluent. Simon was not a poor man. He had partners in his business, which means he had not a little small enterprise, but he was doing some things. And so the Bible says Jesus saw the crowd, but then he saw the boats. I came to tell somebody this morning that Jesus is looking at the crowd of the world, and then he's looking at the options that he has in front of him as to who he can use in this day and hour and in this time where people don't want to be used. But some of us, my God, feel a tucking on our coattail. We're doing very well where we are, but we have a sense of purpose and a sense of destiny that God is calling us to much more than what we are doing. Who am I preaching to in here? You're doing fine on your own, and you don't even want Jesus to get in your boat. Y'all gonna miss me this morning. Y'all gonna miss me this morning. You're doing okay. You ain't that bad off. And Jesus looks around and he sees the crowd, but he says, let me get in one of these boats. And he gets in the boat, and he doesn't even have the audacity, God, I'm preaching to somebody, to ask if you want him in the boat. He just decides to get on in there. My God, you don't even have the wherewithal to pray for what Jesus is about to do in your life. You don't even have the capacity, I'm talking to somebody here, to ask for what he's about to accomplish. Do me a favor. Look at your name and say, I know you weren't here last week, but your hallelujah can't be broke that fast. You didn't hear what I just said. Peter doesn't even have the capacity to pray for what God is about to do. He's just doing his business. And Jesus going, I'm about to step up all up in that thing and do something you didn't even ask for, because I know the end from the beginning, and I know what you were created and purposed to do, and I'm about to thrust you right into your future, baby. I'm talking to somebody in here. Come on, your hallelujah can't be broke that fast. Your amen can't be broke that fast. I just told you, you ain't even praying for this, but it's about to show up anyway. No, I'm going to go preach to this side. You ain't even praying for this, but it's about to show up anyway. I'm going to get to where I got to go real quick. It's just the beginning. Jesus, I got to lay the framework. Jesus has a choice as to whose boat he's going to use. He could have picked the other option. He could have, if it was by chance, he might have just gotten the other boat. But, oh God, he chooses Simon's. Now, how does he know it's Simon's boat if he has not been watching from a distance Simon do what he do?
saying, I'm going to use him one day. See, you're frustrated because you're in what you're doing, and you don't know if God is with you, against you, for you. I'm talking to somebody in here. You pray for, you fast for, you run for, you sow for. But he's been watching from a distance, and he says, I see your faithfulness. I see your work ethic. I see your diligence. I see your heart. Who am I preaching to in here? Don't you sit on this word. Who am I talking to? I see your heart.
Y'all, take some of the highs out my mic. I already got half a voice. I see your heart. I see your diligence. I see your faithfulness. I've been watching from a distance, and I've been working on a transition team. Because I ain't going to be around for long. And I got to pass the baton on to some folk who has the heart to do the work. I'm prophesying to somebody in here. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm next, baby. And I don't even know it. Jesus is building a succession team. God, I feel like preaching in here. I'm about to run all around this place. He's building a transition team that can take the baton way after he's gone. And he finds a man by the name of Simon. His name means flaky, shaky, unstable, God, fickle, changed with every blowing wind. And God sees him from a distance and says, I see Simon, but that's not what I see. I see the rock. Oh, God, I'm preaching better than y'all shout. So then God looks at him and says, the world sees how shaky you are, but I see what I created you to be. You've got convinced by what you see instead of being convinced by where you're going to end up. You've let the world tell you this is all there is. The devil is a lie. I feel like preaching to somebody. You've judged your future based upon where you are now. And you've bought into that lie. You've let life circumstances, the pressure of it all, tell you, this is it, buddy. This is about as good as it's gonna get. And you've let life experiences cause you to diminish your value and your worth. So that when God comes to you and tells you you're next, you say, who's next? Oh, God, I'm preaching right now. And as I'm preaching to you, you can't even get the words out of your mouth to even look at your neighbor. If the next time I say this and the person next to you don't say nothing, slide over. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And find somebody on your way that don't mind prophesying your future, because if they don't have the capacity to rejoice over what God is doing in your life, when you are next, you don't mind seeing other people walk in their destiny and their purpose. It refreshes your spirit. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm next, baby, I'm next. I feel an anointing in here. I feel an anointing in here. My God, who am I preaching to? Hey, I was watching the Greenbrier tournament because I wanted to see if my boy Tiger could get himself together. And I had to preach Wednesday night. I had to preach Thursday night. I had to be at a camp meeting Friday night and do some stuff there. And Saturday, and got back on plane 6 o'clock this morning. Come back here, and I couldn't tune in and watch. And then I was looking at the highlights. And on hole 18, they were having a contest. Mr. Justice, the owner of the chairman of Greenbrier, right? And whoever got a hole in one, the whole crowd, the grandstand, everybody in the crowd, if they got one hole in one, everybody in the crowd, every person in the grandstand, if you're sitting in the grandstand, you get $100 for the first person to get a hole in one. Day one,
Day one, God hits a hole in one. Sure enough, chairman comes out. They're showing this on the highlights. He got state troopers and everybody with him. Got a case full of money, handing out $100 bills to everybody. To everybody. I wish I had somebody help me out. Everybody that was in the state was getting $100, right? He said, now, if they do it again tomorrow, I'm going to give everybody in the state $500. That's what he said. Sure enough, hole 18, dude steps up. That's a par three. I know you might not know what that is. 175 yards. I was probably playing 168. For me, that's an 8-iron. I know you don't understand that concept. If you're a golfer, don't be jealous. Don't hate. I can't help nobody out. And so, watch this now. He hits the hole in one. Bam. Back of the hole. Sucks back in. Boom. Goes right in. One shot. Goes in. Sure enough, chairman comes out. Starts giving everybody $500 a piece. Everybody in the grandstand. It's like 700 people in the grandstand. And he's giving out. Touch your neighbor and say, ain't no recession, what's wrong with you? And he's giving out. Day four, finishing day. I looked and he said, on day three, nobody did it. He said, if it happens again, I'm gonna give everybody in the grandstand $1,000. Every golfer that got up on the 18th tee on the last day was being cheered on by a bunch of people because they realized, if you succeed, I succeed. Look at your neighbor and say, baby, I'm cheering for you because if you're next, what? No, if you start your business, if you get your degree, slap your name and say, I'm next, I'm next. God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in here. Nobody even made the hole in one, but everybody's like, come on.
When you see God moving in somebody else's life, you want to declare, who's next? I'm next. Because the same God that blessed them is the same God. Who am I talking to in here? That's why you get excited when you hear the testimony of one of your brothers and sisters in the faith. That's why you push them when they say, I'm stepping out on nothing to start my own business, and you don't criticize them. I feel like preaching to somebody in here. Oh, I heard your Holy Ghost. Touch your name and say, look around. My God, I've been here 11 years, and for 11 years, I've been saying, God, when you gonna fix this place up? My God, look around. My God, that means if God did it for your house, it's coming to your house. If you serve under this umbrella, you ought to say, God, I'm next. You fix that up, fix this up. I feel like, sit down. If you're watching online, this is for YouTube. This is for you. Watch this. Jesus has the option of whose boat he gets into. And nobody's even in the boat. So that tells us he had a plan as to who he wanted on his team. Look at your neighbor and say, don't get mad because he chose me. I'm hot, I would come out my jacket, but I promised my wife I wouldn't show the guns. She said, baby, you can't wear no t-shirt now. You can't do it. I said, all right. When you're next, there's some things you got to realize. First, you have to understand God wants you on his team. Touch your name and say, God wants me on the team. But you're saying, Pastor, if you only knew who I was. I don't need to know. God knows. He knew Simon was signing me. Come on here, somebody. But he still wanted him on his team.
Oh, somebody needs to hear that. Look at your name and say, God wants you on the team. He wants you on the team. And as God wants you on the team, you have to realize you're not by yourself. Touch your name and say, you're not by yourself. Oh God, this is for somebody. Because when God calls you to do a thing, it's normally way out of your comfort zone and absolutely terrifying. But God wants me to tell somebody right now, do not be afraid, be of good cheer, for the Lord thy God is with you. Who am I? I ain't come to talk to anybody. I came to talk to somebody. If you're about to step out on something that you've never done before, and you're saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I know you called me to do it. God said, I'm with you. I got your back. You're on my team. Oh, God, you better not miss this word this morning. Very quickly. Very quickly, I was watching, I'm messed up now, I had all type of smart stuff to say. I done messed that all up. I was watching the races, the qualify for the world championship. It happens in Oregon every year. I love any sports. It doesn't matter, especially football season's not around, so ain't nothing on. And I can't watch a whole baseball game. I watch the highlights. I just can't. Not unless I'm at the game. And so there's nothing on. And I said, ooh, you know. I said, my wife and them would go away outside of football season. Y'all ain't saying that, ain't nothing on. And I said, ooh, track and field is on. And I was watching the qualifying. They started doing the 100, you know, the big horses getting out there and running. And they had the girls, they had the guys, did the 200. And then they did the 4x1. They did the 4x4. Then they did the 4x1. And I was watching the 4x1. And yeah. I was watching the 4x1. And God said, you remember what I told you? I said, when? Which one? Because you download a lot of stuff. He said, when I told you that Wednesday night, I said, yeah, that the dream's about to become a reality, the reality's about to become a new normal. I'm going to say it again. The dream is about to become a reality, and the reality is about to become a new normal. You better grab it when it comes, baby. The dream is about to become a reality, and the reality, oh my God, it's about to come a new. I said, yeah. He says, do you think that's going to be accomplished on your own? I said, no, God, I know thou art with me. If thou, my God, oh Lord, are sure for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head, what can separate me from the love of God? I wish I had somebody. There are more for us than there are against us. No weapon formed against you shall. Are y'all in here with me? And so I said, God, I know I am not going to get that accomplished. Oh, I understand that. He says, look at that race. And I was looking at it. He said, check it out. Look, each one is next. He says, Michael, this is not a marathon. It's not about endurance right now. He says, yes, life itself is the marathon. He says, but then I move and shift in ways where I do stuff in a very short time frame. And when I do it in a short time frame, I have people that run each leg of the race. And I need somebody in position to say, come on, baby, I'm... Right, God, just do it prophetically. Come, just go and get up. Yeah. God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Somebody is running you down with your future. I gotta hurry up. Let me hurry up and get this to you. Y'all sit down, let me finish. As soon as I saw that, I was turning around and I'm looking at some History Channel thing. It's not bored, man. And wife and kid gone. They my life, so I ain't gonna need. Son got his license, he done left his father, he don't even care about me no more. He just driving, having a good time. Y'all, they said, I'm all by my lunch. And I'm sitting there just flipping around, and I'm watching the History Channel. And God said, look at that. They found a fossil of a human being that ran
the history of this person, they ran the Olympics as far as back as Greece. And the baton goes as far as back, all the way back to the Aborigines. Relay racing goes all the way back, because when they had to get a message out, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting, they would first send runners in different directions, and whoever showed up first delivered the message. But then they got smart and said, we could cover more ground if we combine our own runners. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting, and link them up, and somebody covered this leg, somebody covers that leg, and that's how relays got started. And so they showed this fossil, and in its hand it was buried in its tomb, clutching a baton. And I looked, I said, God, look at that. And the story was, they wanted to die with this baton because they lived their life racing and running. And God showed me, he said, son, that's how some people leave this earth, with the baton in their cold, dead hand, and they never passed it along to the next person in line. So their dream died with them. Can I tell somebody what God wants to do in your life outlives you? You gotta outlives you. And what I'm seeing across all of the stratus, whether it's business, whether it's political, whether it's education, entertainment, there are people that have been in position who got there and never did this. So we have great voids of leadership. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting, but God is looking at the options, and he said, I can use him, I can use her, I can use that person. God is replacing, hear me prophetically, people he can use with people who are dying, holding on to what they got. Don't you die like this. Die empty. Say, I'm going to do everything God called me to do in my lifetime, and it's going to impact four generations. You better declare it right now in the name of Jesus. I'm coming to my close. Hurry. Coming to my close. When you're next, you have to realize God wants you on your team, and you have to realize you're not running by yourself. And so people in a relay understand they don't wait standing still. Can I just preach to somebody in here? You've been waiting standing still, and when you wait standing still and you don't have the proper timing, you're going to drop the baton. You got to get a head start when you see the person on your team running toward your way. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm getting my head start. You're frustrated because you're not where you want to be in business or in education. Touch your neighbor and say, It's just a head start. Who am I preaching to in here? You just itching out. That's all you're doing. You just itch. Slap your name and say, I'm just itching, baby. Don't hate on me. Because when I get this thing in my hand, I see the finish line in front of me. And he that has begun a good work in me shall. Slap your name and say, I'm going to finish this thing, baby. I'm going to finish. Now sit down. Let me close. Jesus now gets in the boat. Peter looks up and probably goes, dude, what you doing in my boat? Come on now. Jesus, it's at Lake Gennesaret. which is the Sea of Galilee, same place. He goes to the fisherman's port because he knows Peter's going to be there. He's building his transition team. Oh God, I hear your Holy Ghost. Touch your name and say, you better have the right team, baby. You better. I'm preaching and prophesying to somebody in here. I am on specific assignment. Look at your name and say, you better have the right team. How do I know I got the right team? If they're not celebrating your finish and pushing you to the end of what God said, kick them off your got to go. Look at your neighbor and say, are you going to praise with me or are you going to praise against me? I love you, baby, but I only need people that's going to praise with me in this season in my life. I'm going to tell you why in a second. Watch this now. And if you didn't get up and high five your neighbor, I love you. Forgive me. Don't write me no letter. Don't befriend me on Facebook. But you stupid man. And let me tell you why. Because when you get around somebody that you see God is moving, that thing gets on them, but it can't stay there. It has to also impact your life. Jonathan was with a young man, and they went up. This is a sidebar. I'm sorry for the time, but it's a sidebar. And they went up to fight some Philistines. And the young man said, "Hey, Jack, I ain't got no weapon." Jonathan looked at him and said, "First one I kill, take his sword." See, he was with somebody. Don't you be offended by hooking up with somebody that has greater capacity than you do. Because the first thing they kill. I promise I'm almost done. Am I helping anybody in here? I'm almost done. Peter looks at Jesus and says, dude, why are you in my boat? Peter was finished for the day. Oh, here's a bomb for somebody. You thought you were done when you just getting started. You thought it was over, but you didn't know Jesus just got in your boat, baby. He was washing his net. I don't have time to talk about that. He was washing his net. I don't have time. If I had time, I'd preach that. He's washing his nets, meaning he's finished. He's wrapped up for the day. Jesus gets in his boat, and he starts preaching. He never, read the Bible, he never asked Peter, can I get in the boat? Here's another bomb. I'm probably going to drop the mic and walk off the stage on this one. God does not need your permission to bless your slap your name and say, he don't need my permission. He just about to step all up in my stuff. My God, he didn't even ask me if he can use what I'm in. He just... Oh God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Watch this. He said, watch it now. He looked at Jesus going, dude, what's up? I can only imagine Simon going, did this dude know I've been out here all night? I'm tired. I am frustrated because I've caught nothing and I feel like my day is wasted. Jesus gets in his boat and he starts preaching. And Peter look up and go, who are all these folk? Who are you? And he starts teaching, preaching from the boat. Then he says to Peter, launch out into the deep. Which means Peter didn't have a whole lot of question as to why he was in this boat. Because once he started listening to what Jesus had to say, he then said, you can use it all you want to. He looked at Peter and said, hey man, thank you. I'm paraphrasing, so allow me to use your boat. It's a conversation, so we weren't there, so I'm just using my imagination. Thank you for letting me use your boat. Come on, let's launch out into the deep. Peter then says, I've been out here all night, and I'm a professional at what I do. And professional fishermen do not fish during the daytime. We fish at night. When it's quiet, when there's no disturbance, we catch the fish. And Jesus says, launch out into the deep. Well, I'm a professional, and we don't go that far because we see the fish in shallow water. That's why we use the nets, dude. If you launch out into the deep and throw your net out there, you have no idea what you're going to catch because you can't see nothing. I'm preaching better than y'all is shouting. And Jesus looks at him and said, what's your next excuse? Look at your neighbor and say, what's your next excuse? Our God, you gave God the excuse. I know what I'm doing. How has that worked out for you so far? It ain't working, is it? Jesus is now saying, I got a better way, and I'm about to move you to bigger and better things. Look at your neighbor and say, bigger and better is coming, honey. My God, how can you sit in your chair right now? Look at your neighbor and say, bigger and better is coming. Yes, it is. Take me down. Take me down. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. I'm going to preach in a little bit with my half a voice. Watch this. Watch this. There you go. There you go. Take me down. Watch this. And so now the Bible says, he says, all right, I'll try you out. I'll try you out. I've always preached from that dimension. I always preach from the dimension that Peter listened to the Lord a little bit. He let down our net. He didn't let down his nets. I feel like preaching. And so therefore, because he didn't let down nets, he didn't catch everything God wanted him to catch. And wrong. Look at the theologians in the room. Wrong? Yes, wrong. Jesus knew the trade of Simon. But he also knew he wanted him to transition from being a professional, my God, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting, to being a playmaker. He knew he wanted him to transition from the monotony of his own business to having a global impact. He knew he was just busy impacting his region, but he was about to impact the world. Slap your neighbor and say, you have no idea what God is transitioning you to. God, who am I talking to in here? You have no clue as to what you are about. Stay down, Mike. Stay down. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. Here we go. He says, all right, I'm going to go ahead. Oh God, I feel like preaching. I'm going to go ahead and launch out into the deep, and I'm going to throw out my net. It wasn't about the net. It wasn't about the nets. It was about Simon. It's not about the boat. It's about you, dummy. God didn't get in the boat to choose a boat. He got in the boat because it was your boat. I'm preaching better than you. He didn't hop into your affairs for your affairs. He happened to your affairs for you. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, neighbor, God picked me.
And if they don't look at you, and if they don't rejoice, find another neighbor. If you gotta go across the aisle, say, neighbor, God put me. I don't know what I did to get it, but baby, be it unto me according to his will. I'm not the best candidate, but I am a candidate. I'm in this race that he's called me to. Who am I preaching to in here? Come on, slap two or three people a high five and say, he picked me, baby. He picked me with my broken self, with my messed up self, with my insecure self, with my inadequate self, with my uncharismatic self. He picked, God, who am I preaching to in here? He picked. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. The Bible says he goes out. Listen to me carefully. Now you're about to get blessed. Listen to me carefully. The Bible says, I gotta hurry up. The Bible says, hallelujah, I feel the Lord in here. Oh God. The Bible says, he launches out, he throws out his net. So all of a sudden, he got so much fish, he don't know what to do with it. Slap your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh God. Look, if they ain't responding, don't go across the other aisle. Find somebody look like they got joy and say, neighbor, get ready to be blessed because you know me. Oh God, who am I talking to in here? Get ready for everything in your life to change just because you know me. I'm talking to somebody in here. I'm talking to somebody in here. My God, so much fish came in the net. My God, I'm preaching to somebody. That Peter called his partners. Look at your name and say, I need just one person. Come on here to hook up with, to hook up with. You get one person? You get one person? If they're looking at you like you're crazy, say, I'm sorry, but I gotta do this for you and for me. You might not be able to get praise out of your mouth right now. As a matter of fact, you might not even know how to praise. I'm gonna do it for you and for me. So look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, this next praise is for you and for me. Peter called his partners, and he had to call his partners because there was so much he couldn't contain it all. And when he called his partner, he said, come on, help me, help me, help me. Look at your neighbor and say, I need your help right now. I need your help, because what God is about to do scares me. I'm preaching to somebody in here. It's scary. I ain't never done this before. I never experienced this before. Who am I preaching to in here? Scares me. Scares me. Scares me. Scares me. It's nothing like being on a relay and running the slowest time. So they put the slowest runner in the middle. And they put the bookends, the two fastest, on the end, at the beginning, and at the finish line. You might be stuck in the middle. You might like feel like it's not coming fast enough, but God got you on the team. Even Jesus got the baton passed to him by John. I feel like that's why they call John the forerunner. You got your partner? Look at your partner and say, all right, I need you right now. Oh, y'all are too tired. I just got off the plane just preaching. You have been preaching all week long. Come on, come on, come on. Look at your name and say, I need you right now. Because God got in my boat, messed up all my stuff, transitioned my life, changed some stuff. My trajectory has changed. My destiny has changed. And it's scaring me right now. You got somebody. Y'all don't even sound like you're half saved. You got somebody. Thank you. Help a preacher out. Look at him and say, all right, neighbor. Neighbor. Lord have mercy. Let me preach to this side. neighbor. See how they do it, people? All right, I'll come back over and help you out a little bit. Neighbor, that sounds so good. I need your help. I need you to take my hand. When I put it out, and God is about to transfer our destiny together. Are you on my team? Because one can chase a thousand, but two can put 10,000 to flight. And the Bible says where any two of us would gather together in his name, that he would show up in the midst of us. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to turn my back, baby. And you put your face to my back. Come on, come on, come on. Get yourself in position. I feel the Lord in here. God, I feel the Lord in here. Get yourself in position. My God, and say, neighbor, I'm going to get a little bit of head start. And when I inch out a little bit, you smack my hand. And God is going to transition us at the same time. And when we transition, I'm going to come up praising God, and you come up praising God too. Are you ready? On three, get yourself a little inch out, and your partner's going to grab your hand. And when that partner grabs your hand, the transition is going to begin. And nets are about to break. And overflow is about to happen. And abundance is about to... God, I feel it in here. Don't you sit there looking crazy. I don't care if you don't believe it. Just do it. On three. One, two, three. Do it. Grab that hand. Grab that hand. Grab that hand. Say it's happening, it's happening, it's happening, it's happening, it's happening, it's happening. I feel transition. I feel a shift in my spirit. I feel...